Okay, we're on Isaiah chapter 6. If you want to open your Bibles and follow along with me in Isaiah chapter 6. Now, I'm going to do chapter 6 in two parts. This first part will cover verse 1 down to about verse 8. And then the second part will cover verse 9 to the end. And so there will be two separate videos on this. It's just that there's so much material here, and I want to keep it brief, but I don't want to skip over anything as well. So part one will be called Isaiah's vision, and part two will be called Isaiah's prophecy, the vision that he received and the prophecy that he was given. So the chapter opens up with this statement: in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw, that is Isaiah, I saw also the Lord, or Adonai, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And so Isaiah had a vision of the Lord high and lifted up in the temple. The statement that strikes us, of course, is the information about Uzziah. It's upon the death of Uzziah that Isaiah received this vision. And so we have an empty throne on the earth. We have an occupied throne in heaven. You know, when the kings in olden times died, it was a time of instability and uncertainty, because it was not like our days in our Western democracies, where there's a, generally speaking, a smooth transition of power through the, you know, vote of the people, and then it's transferred, the government's transferred to the guy that won the election and so on. When a king in those days died, it could augur a time of even revolution, instability, unrest, and so forth. So it was a troubling time, because overall King Uzziah's reign was a time of stability, of military strength, and of prosperity. Uzziah himself was a generally godly king, but we know the story. We've mentioned it before, how he tried to offer incense on the golden altar, incense, and the king of Israel could not do that, and he was smitten with leprosy, and he died as a leper. Another point here is that many of the more current evangelical expositors or commentators on the Bible take chapter 6 here to be sort of a retrospect. In other words, that historically it actually happened before chapter 1, and it's, it gives us Isaiah's call to the ministry. And so Isaiah's sort of looking back to when the Lord called him to the ministry, so historically occurring before chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Some of the older expositors, rather, see this simply as chronologically actually following chapter 5 historically. I'm sort of with the older expositors on this one, because we get Isaiah saying here, in the year that King Uzziah died, but of course in chapter 1 it says that he prophesied during the reign of Uzziah and several other kings. So my sort of take on that is that this was much later, or somewhat later, not much later, but later in Isaiah's ministry after his actual call. But, you know, we can't absolutely say in these types of things one way or the other. So, as I said, it's a time of turmoil, of trouble, of uncertainty, a dark time, really. Someone has said, when the outlook is dark, try the uplook. And so this is what Isaiah does here. And the Lord gives him this vision. And so we see in verse 2, when he looked up and saw the Lord, and then verse 2, he saw above the throne the seraphim. And these seraphim, these angelic beings, each one had six wings. And with two of the wings, he covered his face, and with two, he covered his feet, and with two, he flew. So these are seraphim. We also get in the Bible another type of angelic being called a cherubim. So there's seraphim and cherubim. Now the seraphim, we would understand these to be those that would be exhibit the principles of God's righteousness and holiness, sort of a guard to God's holiness, more than his righteousness, but his holiness in the earth. And then cherubim are more those that exhibit the principles of his righteous government in the earth. Now, the thing with the cherubim we see in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 6, is that they have four wings. The seraphim has six wings, In Revelation chapter 4, where we get another type of angelic beast, there's sort of a combination of seraphim and cherubim, and some of the features, they hold some of the features of each of these two type of angelic beings. The seraphim, the word seraph, means to burn, or literally fiery one. It's the same word used when the sin offering was offered in Leviticus, and the flame consumed everything on the altar. The consummation, that consuming fire, let's put it that way, is that that word seraph, or that's where the word seraph comes from. And so they're the fiery ones. That may give us an indication of these creatures. And another point, just on that line, is that the Babylonian name for the god of fire is Serapu. And so the Israelites may have incorporated that word into their language from the Chaldean area, the Assyrian area of the world, what is today Iraq. So that's a possibility. I'm not a scholar in these things, so I'm not going to press that too far. But that's just a note. So Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. And he sees the seraphim above the throne. And then verse 3, one cry to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. This is Yahweh, Jehovah, a Sabbath, that the Lord of hosts, he's the Lord over all. He's the sovereign Lord, the eternal, who's over all beings, heavenly, earthly, whatever. That's the idea of the Lord of hosts. And so if the government is taken away on the earth, let's remember who's actually on the throne. God's throne never trembles, never is nervous, never is shaken, never is trembling about what's happening on the earth. It's stable. And the angelic beings here, the seraphim, they cry, holy, holy, holy. He's the thrice holy God here, Jehovah, Yahweh. And we see in verse 4, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then we see Isaiah, the response of Isaiah in verse 5 to that, to seeing the Lord of hosts is, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See, this is the true King, the King above all kings, the King of kings. And when Isaiah sees him, he says, woe is me. Now you remember that Isaiah was pronouncing woes upon the people. In chapter 5, we had a series of 6 woes. Now it's not woe are them, or woe are they, but woe is me. And we see this response in many of the Lord's servants when they really get a view of his holiness. You know, John fell at his feet as one who was dead. Daniel, the same thing. Job said, you know, when he saw Jehovah, that he repented in sackcloth and ashes. Simon Peter, when he had the great draw of fish in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, he saw in the Son of God that he was a divine person, that he was Yahweh, Jehovah, that he fell at his feet, said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. So there's many examples of that. The closer we get to the Lord, we don't get, put it this way, we don't get holier when we get closer to the Lord. We see our unholiness when we get closer to the Lord. That's an important point. When we look at ourselves in the natural, in the flesh, what we are as sons of Adam, the closer do we get to the divine, the more we see really what we are, but dust. But here we see the response to this is verse 6. Then one of the seraphim said and flew unto me, and he took a live coal in his hand with tongs off the altar, and he laid it on his mouth, and he said, lo, this has touched your lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And so Isaiah here, his lips are touched by the coal off the altar, off the brazen altar. And we may see in this a type of Christ purging our sins to make him a fit vessel to announce the holy words of the Lord. And for a particular prophecy, a very, very important prophecy he's about to receive, and he's being prepared to deliver that prophecy. And we'll look at that in our next video, the part 2, the prophecy that Isaiah receives. But there's another point here that I just want to touch on briefly, and really it's probably the most important point of all, and I've alluded to it, that when Isaiah saw Jehovah, he really was seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is Jehovah. And I can put a little plug in here maybe for a book of mine called Jesus is Jehovah. And you can get it through Believer's Bookshelf Canada or Believer's Bookshelf USA. And it looks at a lot of the verses that deal with the subject, showing that Jesus Christ is actually Jehovah. Now, we know this for a fact from Isaiah chapter 6, because the Apostle John references this very account here in Isaiah chapter 6. If you want to look in your Bible, in John's Gospel chapter 12, we see in verse 39, "Therefore, they could not believe, that is the people of Israel, for again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart." And actually, John is quoting Isaiah's prophecy that we have in verse 9 and 10. As I said, that we'll look in the next video. He's quoting this prophecy of Isaiah, the very prophecy we have here in chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. So he says, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart," and so on. I'm going to read the whole thing. But notice verse 41. Here it is. "Isaiah said these things because," or "when, he saw his glory and spoke of him." Well, who is John speaking of here? He's speaking of the Lord Jesus. Because if we just back up in the passage here in John chapter 12, it says in verse 36, "When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them." Then verse 37, "Though he had done so many things though he had done so many signs before them, still they did not believe him." Therefore, he's showing the unbelief of the people of Israel, of the Jewish people, in the Lord Jesus. No matter how many signs he showed, yet they did not believe him. And then he quotes the prophecy from Isaiah, and another prophecy from Isaiah. And then verse 41, "Isaiah said these things because he," that is Isaiah, "saw his," that is the Lord Jesus, "glory and spoke of him." So when John the Apostle is speaking of Isaiah chapter 6, or he's speaking of the Lord Jesus, he's referring scene here in Isaiah chapter 6 to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus himself is Jehovah. And just as there was unbelief in the Old Testament concerning Jehovah, so there's unbelief revealed in the New Testament, the unbelief of the people in the Lord Jesus. And rejecting the Lord Jesus, they're rejecting their King. They're rejecting Yahweh. They're rejecting their God. Very solemn thought. So we'll look at the prophecy that was given to Isaiah in our next video. May the Lord bless you.